This morning, it occurred to me that 20 years ago today, on this exact day, I started my training as a therapist. 20 years ago today, I started my master's program in the couple and family therapy program at Antioch University, Seattle. But why did I do that? Why did I choose to be a therapist? I was young. I was 24. It was the 90s. Anything seemed possible back then. You know, the dot-com boom was happening. I could have worked for a startup. I could have worked for Microsoft or Boeing in Seattle, like all my friends and family. That would have been an easy path for me. So why did I decide the hard path of being a therapist? I didn't know any therapists. No one in my family wanted me to be a therapist. None of my friends were interested in psychology. I was just a 24-year-old sort of douchebag who drank beer with my buddies while watching the Seattle Supersonics every night. At least that's what I can remember about my life at 24. You know, 20 years is a long time, so I don't really remember what I was thinking. I mean, I have a story in my head about what I was thinking back then, but there's no real way of knowing if that story has morphed over time, right? If only I had a time machine, I could go back in time and ask myself, Kirk, why did you decide to be a therapist this year? Why did you do that? But I actually do have a time machine, and it is called my journal. Or my diary, or whatever you want to call it. So let's see what my journal says. In March of 1995, this is when I decided to become a therapist, I wrote, I'm going to be a psychologist. 2 weeks ago, I suddenly decided to either be a music teacher or a psychologist. Although, I don't think I could discipline children, so I'll be a therapist. I figured out that psychology has been a common thread throughout my whole life, and I didn't even know it. I also wrote, I never thought I'd go back to school. I hate school. I really do, but I hate where my career is going even more. That's funny. I did hate school. Boy, I hated school. I learned to love it as I got older, for sure, but when I was younger, I hated school. I also wrote in the March of 95, I'm convinced this is the right decision, even if it's very difficult to find a job. Actually, it's not that hard to find a job. For example, in my program, 98% of our grads are currently working in the field, so there's lots of jobs out there. I don't know where that misconception gets propagated, but now some of the jobs might not be so great, but you know, there's definitely jobs out there. All right, let's see what else I wrote in my journal. In October of 95, 20 years ago exactly, which this was my first quarter of grad school, and I wrote, after this second week of school, I have realized my occupation is going to be a long, long journey. It's very wise of me at 24. A long line. Indeed it is. I'm still on that journey. I also wrote, I like my classes. There is a lot of reading. Yeah, that's true. I also wrote, we share a lot about our personal stuff in class. Today in narrative research, I was in a group with two other ladies telling our life story. I was the only one who didn't cry the entire time. I felt funny being the strong one, or the young, no baggage one, or the guy. Well, first off, I'm calling my classmates ladies, which is I don't know what that's about. But I'm also saying that I felt bad because I wasn't crying like the way they were. That's interesting. And then I also identified myself as the strong one, which is ridiculous and sexist. So, you know, 24, what are you going to do? So I said, I felt funny being the strong one or the young, no baggage one or the guy. Wow, there's so many problems with that statement. Apparently, I was an idiot when I was 24. Let's see what else I wrote as an idiot at 24. I said, I've been really noticing ethnicity lately because I am taking a multicultural perspectives class and reading a lot about race. Oh, that's interesting. It's so weird to like read your journal, you know, and to see another you, because that doesn't even, I can't imagine saying such a stupid sentence. It makes you wonder, like in 20 years when I read my journal today, how stupid I'll think I am today. I'm sure I'll find myself to be quite stupid today. Let's see what else I wrote in October of 95. I wrote, school is great. It's a constant struggle. Sometimes I feel like I'm the most capable therapist in the world, and other times I feel like dog shit. Sometimes I feel like the most capable therapist in the world, and other times I feel like dog shit. Well, I would say both of those extremes are really quite stupid to feel when you're in literally like your second week of grad school. How could I possibly feel like I was the most capable therapist in the world? That's ridiculous. That's so interesting because I'm often telling my students that they really need to accept the fact that they're at the very beginning of their learning. I think there's this need for students right off the bat to feel like they're good at something when it's like, why would you be good at something that you've had zero training in and almost no experience? It's like, why would you be good at that? And finally, I also wrote here, I predict that one day Donald Trump will be president. What? Why would I write that? I'm just joking. I didn't write that. Okay. So that's what I wrote in my journal. That was a weird trip down memory lane. But what about other therapists? That's me. But what about other therapists? Why did they choose to be a therapist? There are many, many hypotheses posed over the past several decades by many authors and many researchers. And there are many contradictory findings. Some say we all have childhood problems and some say we don't. Some say we're all crazy, and some say we're not so crazy. In this episode, I'm going to review and comment on the various research that attempts to answer this question, why do people decide to be therapists? But first, let me introduce the podcast. Welcome to the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your loyal and humble host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I am chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program at Antioch University, Seattle, and I'm also a practicing psychotherapist. This episode is just for patrons of the podcast, so if you're listening to this and you're not a patron of the podcast, this episode will end before the content begins. If you want to hear the full episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Patrons of the podcast get access to the exclusive episodes like this one, along with other various benefits and swag. So again, if you haven't already, go to patreon.com and become a patron of our humble little podcast to get access to this episode. At this point, you can gain access to exclusive episodes by going to the Creator Posts tab on the Patreon page. But in the future, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a separate podcast feed that will be available on your podcast app, like on your phone and that sort of thing.